Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. On the line with us today is Michelle Radloff from Samuel N. Aussies. Michelle is an Aussie breeder who I'm very familiar with. Rick, as you've mentioned in the last couple of shows, my passion is for Aussies. Sure. And I'm proud to say that one of my Aussies was purchased from Michelle. And I bet she's glad that I chose the Aussie that I did, because the one we meant to choose and didn't choose went on to win several awards, probably because we didn't have that dog. But we're very pleased with the one that we do have. Michelle, the reason we wanted to have you in today was to talk about how the case in Mason has affected breeders in general, and kind of where you think things are going to go now that the case has actually been tried.
Yes, it's having a big effect nationwide, because there's cases like this going on all over the country.
Now, I should say, Michelle, I did not say it in the setup, but what most people don't know about you is that being an Aussie breeder is only what you do with part of your time. You're also an attorney. Am I not? Am I mistaken, or is that correct?
That's correct. I do dog law, amongst a few other things, and I've done dog law across the country, California, Oklahoma, Virginia, and I do a variety of things related to that, including contracts, seizure situations like this, and help a lot of people with situations they wouldn't be aware of with their dogs.
Gotcha. So how is this case affecting the future of where dog breeding is going to go?
Well, it's not just this case, but there's similar cases going on across the country. We have situations where the Humane Society or Animal Control, whatever the figure is called in that county or state, comes in and seizes a bunch of dogs. And there may not be a valid reason for it. There may be a situation where there's a temporary condition, where there may be flooding, or something that can be corrected within two days to a week. And instead of working with these breeders who have been hit very badly by the economy, just like everybody else, they come in, take the dogs, they get a bunch of publicity on the radio, on the news, saying how, oh, we have all these dogs and we need to find homes for them. And they get rid of all the dogs that are in their place and charge several hundred dollars for each of them for something they got for free.
Yeah, I can see where that happened. Are there any cases that have been tried in court that where you might get some decisiveness as to a drawing of the line? Because I would imagine the point where animal control comes in has got to be a bit of a fuzzy line in terms of a situation when it is appropriate.
The problem is there aren't many cases that draw the line as to what's appropriate and what's not, and that is the problem. Because when you go into a breeder, most breeders aren't making a lot of money. They're doing it because they have a passion for that breed. Like, you love your Aussies, and me too, and then there's people, you know, with Dachshunds or whatever the breed is. They're dedicating their money and time to making sure they're producing healthy dogs. And they may have a lot of them because they don't want to breed their dogs back to back. So they may have a lot of females because they only want to breed them at once a year, once every 2 years, which means they have more dogs so they can do what they need to do. But this also causes them to not have a lot of money, because even when you're paying $800, for example, for a dog, that dog's parents have had its eyes checked usually. It may have had its hips certified by the veterinarians, and those have to go to the orthopedic foundation, and they may have their elbows and cardiac and patellas certified, all these things that they're putting time and money into that you don't get when you're going to a backyard breeder or going to the Humane Society if you really want a specific breed. So what happens is they go into these places where somebody doesn't have the money to pay an attorney to defend them past the initial stage. So they often go to trial court, and they may end up doing a plea bargain, not because it's the right thing to do, but because they can't afford to do anything else.
Michelle, in this case, I'm sure you're aware that the breeder had over 70 dogs at the time that they were taken. As someone who has owned Aussies now for 20 years, I've got to tell you, I'm in my 40s and two of them are a handful. What is the limit to the number of animals that a breeder can typically handle at one time? Because you and I both know Aussies require a tremendous amount of personal attention and care in order for their personalities to really develop.
Absolutely, and it's very important to socialize them. And it would depend on the individual's circumstances. I know that the woman involved in this is a very healthy person while she is older, and she also has her family involved. So that makes a difference. A lot of these breeders have a very extended family or group of people who's also assisting with these dogs, or they may have some hired help. A lot of people do that. When I used to have a large kennel, I also had hired help in addition to myself and my two teenage daughters and my husband. So it was really like running a farm. It was a family event, plus you had people coming in. So it's not as simple as you have, you know, one person taking care of 70 dogs. That isn't really realistic, and I doubt that's what was happening there, as would not be happening with anybody who has that quantity of dogs.
But, Michelle, one thing I did notice when we were looking at getting our dog, you seem to have a pretty rigid schedule of how many dogs you're willing to breed at a particular time, and you seem to be very careful in your approach. Is that standard protocol, or are there a lot of people just simply letting nature take its course, so to speak, and not planning it the same way that you did?
No, it is very planned. Otherwise, you'd get overwhelmed. And you may, you know, it's very possible you'd have a couple litters at the same time. For example, I co-breed with a breeder in Virginia, and I usually go down for Easter break. So we'll exchange several dogs at that time where they maybe get bred at the same time because we know that happens, and we plan it between the two of us. So we all, any responsible breeder, is going to make a schedule and plan this out as best you can. Of course, sometimes nature takes its course. You can't always predict heat cycles, and occasionally you will have accidents happen. I had sent one of my dogs out, actually two of my dogs out, to professional handlers, and I'm not putting these handlers down, but my female went into heat unexpectedly, and my male got to her. And I'm very grateful with my male instead of just some random dog.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yes, but it was a mistake. It was an accident. Those things happened. I, you know, didn't begrudge them that because mistakes and accidents are going to happen. When I got married, my husband did not understand why I had rules about who could go outside together. It took me a while to teach him. It was very important that, you know, the boys aren't outside at the same time some females are in heat are. Even if they aren't in the same pens, we don't want them outside because it can be agitating. And they could go under the fence, over the fence, no matter how many barricades we put up. So it really is something you have to teach people. It's not something you can just go out and do.